We welcome you to the Media Ministries of the Gathering Church in the Countryside YMCA of Mainville. As we love the Lord and each other, we're trusting that God would use us to plant a church in every YMCA around the world. To this end, would you join us? We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. and in community groups throughout the week. As you listen to this resource, our prayer is that your love for Jesus would grow deep and your love for others would be seen and heard.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and turn to the book of John, John 19. For the past 2 weeks now, we've been studying Jesus and family. We came to that rich text where Jesus started talking about family, and he made a distinction between the spiritual family and the biological family. Last week we learned that Jesus actually really loves to. We saw that Jesus said that there's a unique trait about the spiritual family. He said, "Those who are mine, who are my brothers and sisters and mothers, they are the ones who do my will." They're the ones that do my will. There's other ways in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit, through the writers of the New Testament, frame what it means to be a Christian. One of the ways that John frames it is that they abide in my love and that they love others. That's what it means to be a Christian. Other writers talk about being born again and then bearing fruit of the Holy Spirit. Christians and Matthew are called Jesus. Other translations are like a student of Jesus. And so in a sense, if you have repented of your sin, placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a student of Jesus. He's your teacher, and you are they who you are. But that drives everything you do. And so when we come to the scriptures this morning, as students of Jesus, this is the simplicity of church. Well, I want to learn Jesus and emulate him with my life. I want to be like him. As he does, that's really our aim this morning. We want to learn his ways, and then we want to ask for his heart. And so this week, we're going to see Jesus' heart. And at the core, we're going to see that Jesus, ready, get this, on Mother's Day, we're going to see that Jesus loved his mom. The Savior of the world, the Creator of the universe, wasn't too busy, wasn't preoccupied, he wasn't too cool, teenagers. In his darkest hour, and in her darkest hour, Mary, Jesus just straight up loved his mom all the way to the end. That's what we're going to see today. So let's get into the story and see his heart unfold, okay? So in John, and really at the tail end of every gospel, you can piece together about seven sayings or seven words that Jesus had at the end of his life that each of them are significant. For instance, in Mark, Jesus cries out, you guys know this, it's the Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Comes in this unique way that Mark unfolds this, and the men in the Iron Man study this last Friday, how he was silent in this suffering, and there was ridicule, and they spat upon him, and they beat him, and he didn't say a word to fulfill all these prophecies. But it was when God the Father poured out, Jesus spoke. That was the speaking of Christ. And it was like, no, not, I want to be near you. Your nearness is my good. Don't leave me. Why have you forsaken? Like, that's what he spoke up about. That's what he wanted. That's what he grieved the most. You know, dudes can hit me. I can handle spikes in the name. But to have God be far from me, that's what he grieved. That was on his heart. And of course, when we get there in Mark, we're gonna be calm. It does way more than just display Jesus' humanity, but it's the beautiful truth that the one who satisfies all thirst, who is the very water and bread of life, and from him flow all of life, that guy was dying of thirst. He gave up his life so that we could drink deeply of him. There was this moment where there was the giving of wine and vinegar and sour. The wine was sour, and it was a fulfillment of the Psalms in 69. Psalm 69, the vinegar was a soaked sponge, and they used it. And he denied it, and there's all this like amazing stuff that was happening. The end of a hyssop plant was used, which signified way back when in Exodus, when they dipped the hyssop branch in blood and they painted their doorposts. And then from there on over, in celebration of Passover, people would use the hyssop branches to remember that it is through his blood that we are saved, we're cleansed, and we're washed. Also, Jesus, when he was on the cross, one of his last words, in Greek, it was just actually one word. He shouted, "Tetelestai." Like archaeologists and things like that unfolded this papyrus where it was noted that it was used with different accounting types and taxpayers, things like that. And they would write "Tetelestai" on it, which meant paid in full. And so Jesus, in his last moments, sent this wonderful redemption message that, hey, this work that I have done, people are redeemed and it is paid in full. God, that we committed last sayings. So this morning, we're just noting that there's something about it when people at the end of their life, they say things that are profound. And some of you might know the comedian Betty White. Anybody? Uh-huh. So just some of the more seasoned saints out there. She died December 31st, 2021. And she was obviously known for her comedic skills, everyone also knows her for her sweet marriage. And at the end of her life, on her last, her last breaths, it's just noted that she was just calling out for her husband, "Alan, Alan, Alan." She just loved her husband. She just wanted him to be near. And so she's remembered for being funny and loving her husband fiercely. Harriet Tubman, who saved 70 people's lives by going from the north to the south and taking slaves on from the south all the way up to Maryland. She did that trip 13 times. She died at the ripe age of 71, and her last words were recorded that she quoted John 14:3, which says, "I go away to prepare a place for you, that there where I am, you may also be." Which is a great verse. Must have been like her life verse, and as she was traveling and preparing a place for slaves up in Maryland, she must be thinking about heaven. Oh, man, Jesus is doing the same thing. That must have just been her verse, Harriet Tubman. Probably you don't know this next guy, which I've talked to all of you. I don't know. Maybe if you, but this guy was a French grammarian, okay? And he was passionate about grammar all the way till his dying day. Listen to this. I think this is a little bit over the top, but this guy said, "I am about to," or "I am going to die." Either expression is correct. It's like, just let it go, bro. You know, just shut it down. But I mean, till his dying day, he was about grammar, right? So today, I especially want to just focus on one exchange, just some last words that Jesus had that reveals his passion, something that he was focused on all the way till his dying day. It should really intrigue you. What's Jesus gonna say? Because I wanna follow him, I wanna be like him. And I'll give it all away right now. Ready? In his last moments, he took care of his mom. John 19, 24 to 30. I'm going to read it for us, and this is the title of the message today, Jesus Loves Moms. Verse 24. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother and his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so that they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. All right, let's learn Jesus together, shall we? Look at verse 26. I'm just going to make a few simple observations, okay? The first one is this. That Jesus saw his mother. Verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother. Okay, so put yourself in Mary's biblical sandals for a second, okay? This, for Mary, was most certainly her darkest hour. I think there's see their kids suffer. Witnessing a brutal murder of her firstborn son. And so then we have Jesus hanging on the cross. And the text says that John goes out of his way to say that Jesus saw her. Okay? Now, this is not just a glance. This is not just a little nod here or there. But Jesus saw her. Okay, and I would come close to say that one of the highest relational needs of every woman is just this, to be seen. What I mean by that is not just noticed, not just acknowledged, but to be known and understood. I know for me, some of my greatest marital moments is not just when I notice Hannah or acknowledge her, certainly not just like tipping the hat to her, but when she feels known, listened to, and understood. And so this seed that Jesus plants, this attitude towards his mother that he sees and knows and understands her, the seed that he plants grows really to be oaks in the New Testament, because that's where we get verses like where, hey, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding manner. Understand her. Listen to her. This is the manner where how Jesus treated his mom. This is how I want you to treat women in general. Your mom, your wife. I want you to know. I want you to understand. I want you to listen. And the truth of it is, we get this model from Jesus, but also all you have to do, men, is like look around to our moms, hearing what their kids mean and not just what they say. Moms, today on Mother's Day, great job. Today we're saying, we see you. This attitude that Christ had towards women is one of the most significant roles in the universe. I firmly believe that secular proverb that says the hand that rocks the cradle, what? Rules the world. It's true. It's true. Mothers have a decisive influence on the next generation because they are nurturing and raising the next generation. So we know that you are not always seen, mothers, by the public eye. We know that you are not always noticed for what you do. But today, we're encouraging you from the scriptures that your work is immeasurable. And today we thank you. We see you. So for encouragement to the follower of Jesus, this is for anyone except moms, okay? Ready? Today, we especially pray that you are encouraged to see your mother, to listen, to understand, to seek to emulate Christ by drawing near to her. A thoughtful question, a movement towards her, an expression to and a desire to be near her. An encouragement for moms. I know that even that call to be seen, I know that that is not ultimately going to satisfy your souls and your deepest longings for eternity, because it's rigged that way. Only Jesus can do that. And so just maybe if we your deepest longings will be fulfilled, and what will fuel you most in your motherhood is that you would fix your eyes on what is unseen, and for what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. And let that fuel you as you seek to follow Jesus in your motherhood. Real simple one. It's at the tail end of the verse. Let me read it from the start. It says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother. This might seem a little silly, but I think we just need a little help in reminding us as guys what our role could be in the lives of our mothers. Jesus talked to his mother. He was expressive. I know for me, when I was in high school, let me just paint the picture real quick, okay? I would come home after basketball practice, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock. And I couldn't even wait like an hour for dinner. And I would put a whole frozen pizza in the oven and get one of like these massive 44-ounce deals and fill it all with milk. From Wisconsin, I drank milk with pizza. Now I don't. I'm more of a water guy, but... and I would eat the whole frozen pizza and drink all the milk as a snack. So like Walters, like in next years with your kids growing up, buckle up, you know, get some frozen pizzas because they're going to be hungry. Allen's, you guys are already there. Great in Wisconsin. I just saw this reel that this kid in the second grade snuck, took chapstick, unloaded the chapstick and snuck cheese inside of it for a snack during class. I'm telling you, that is scholarship material right there. That is a good guy. That is a good guy. So I'm fascinated by Gouda stories. A little cheesy there, right? But I'm being from Wisconsin. It's nice to hear of Wisconsinites still carrying the tradition of cheese. So anyways, the power of words, guys, the power of words. We need to be reminded to speak and to speak well, to honor with our lips. So today, don't just see your mom, but speak to her, encourage her in her role and her calling. Let me make one more. This is from verse 26. Here we go. This is the heart of it. This is where Jesus cares for his mom. Woman, behold your son. This is Christ on the cross. Verse 27, then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. The language here is a little bit weird to us, but historians and grammar dudes say that this particular way that Jesus framed it is similar to a way of betrothal. Mary would have been accustomed to these formal words early, way back, 33 some years ago, and then some. She probably heard the words, Mary, and you will marry her husband. Betrothal language. And in the last moments, Jesus used this formal, not casual language to not just say, hey, John, the beloved disciple. Hey, would you mind stopping over at her house every once in a while just to check on her? Would you mind like mowing her grass and maybe bring her a meal or, you know, whatever? Have her over, that'd be great. Not casual. He said, John, your mother now. Mom, looks at his mom and thinks of her and not himself. He's caring for his own mom. In his deepest physical and spiritual pain, we see Christ at the end of his life living for others. Let's keep looking at this exchange, okay? Do you guys remember the book of Ruth, where Naomi loses her husband, loses her sons, and in those days, a woman back then would have been absolutely ruined. This would have meant like major tragedy, not just relationally, but financially and in every respect. It probably would have been the scariest situation possible for Naomi. It would be like walking out on a tightrope with no net. There's no 401k to supply for her, no security. Losing your son and losing your husband was a death sentence for her, and in the same way for Mary. What about John? How did John, Jesus' mother, like what sort of biblical framework was John working with? Was he just working with just the cultural norm and that's what people did? Did he have a model from Jesus of what it meant to love? Did he, like, different situations? Or did he know that women left without husbands and sons would be bankrupt and without hope? I think the answer to all those questions was probably, yeah. Yeah. A second. Here's a question. Could you take in your best friend's mom? And for John, as we study the heart of Jesus and see him working, I think John's answer would be like, well, of course. I'm looking at you, and right now, not you've lived your life sacrificially, but even right now, you're giving your life for me, that I might know you and be with you for eternity. Of course, for just a few years, I can take in your mom. How could I not, Jesus? If this is how you want me to serve you, I'll do it. Do you see how Christ's cross informs the believer so much that it causes radical love on the back end? Do you see the power of the cross? It's not just to forgive and to make you feel good. There's power in the cross that makes you radically live different. Jesus, he has been and is right now at this means to lay down your life for others. His ministry was marked by concern for others. His whole ministry was about building a community around him that was about living for others. And now he creates this new family that's marked by a radical concern for others. Let me read to you a quote. It says this. This is from the New Testament commentary, the InterVarsity Press. It says, "The divine life is characterized by love and therefore requires a community to express itself. The life of the community derives from Jesus' own giving of himself, and in turn, such self-giving is to typify the community itself." What does that mean? That means that if you love Jesus, you recognize that you live your life for others, and your life is marked by radical, not self-love, but self-giving. And this kind of love is only through Jesus and his cross. You can only get it through that. You can't muster it up inside yourself. You can't try to be good enough to live like that. There's got to be a complete heart transformation, and it's got to go through the cross. No other way around it. Why? It's because our very nature is selfish. Our very nature is bent, geared, and fallen towards self-love, self-protection and pride. Not self, like, giving towards others and love towards others. It's more so preserving. That's our nature, the Bible calls it. The nature to be selfish. Not giving of self. But something beautiful happens when a person follows Christ, is that not right away in every area. Paul communicates from one degree of glory to another. They start living for other people. And we learn and see, not only from scriptures, but on the faces of every believer, that life gets more and more beautiful when you live like that. And actually, you would think giving of yourself would be not the path to joy and freedom and happiness and everything that you want. So Jesus, it says in Hebrews, he's the author and the perfecter, or some say the trailblazer. Like, he's got this machete and he's going through this trail and he's paving the path for us. And the path that he paved today for us is real simple. It's sometimes hard to do. He loved his mom. That's the path. He loves moms. And he loves you. And he hasn't forgotten you. And he won't. And so today on Mother's Day, you have the great opportunity of following Jesus by honoring moms. See her. Let me pray, and then we'll take communion together. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus, his great model to us in how he loved his mom. And Lord, we look to you for strength in that, to fulfill your law, and that you alone would get the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.